This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Rocking the bat back and forth, chokes the bat a couple of inches, and there's a ground ball to the first baseman, Alonso. He takes it to the bag, and this ball game has come to an end. Gorman grounds out. The Cardinals strand Arenado. The Mets win round one of this four-game series, 4-1.
And so the Cardinals teetering around 500 and below 500, and that's where they are right now. A record of 9-10. They're on the road in New York taking on the Mets, and you'll never believe it. We got Cardinals baseball tonight on KMOX.
Right here.
5:15 for the pregame show with Matt Pauly. The first pitch at 6:10. Miles Michaelis is starting against the Mets tonight. And we welcome in Rob Raines, who is the writer, the Cardinals writer for STLSportsPage.com, host of the Raines on the Cardinals podcast. Rob is with us. How's it going, Rob?
Good. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. Let's just get your general overview, your thoughts of where the Cardinals are and how they've started this season.
I think it's been okay. You know, I think, you know, the young position players, I think you've got a lot of things that you like. You like the way Victor Scott II has played. You like the way Jordan Walker has come on. I think Gorman, you know, missing the 10 days with the hamstring was not ideal. Wynn being out right now with the back spasms is not ideal. But, Arenado, I think, has been, you know, okay, better than last year, certainly, to start to the year. So I think there's a lot of things to like. I think the pitching staff has had ups and downs, which is probably kind of what we expected the case to be. So if you had asked me, you know, before spring training, you know, or ended, or before the season began, if I thought the Cardinals would be around 500 as we get closer to the middle of April, I would probably say yes. So I think it's probably been about what we expected it to be.
Mason Wynn's going to come back, and the Cardinals are going to have to make a roster decision. Thomas Tejesi has been very impressive, but yep. Also know that Ollie Marmol really values having Michael Ciani's defense late in the game for strategic purposes. Mm-hmm. Do both of those guys stay on this roster?
I don't think so. And I think it comes down to this. I think it's the same situation basically that you had at the end of spring training. You know, even though Tejesi has played really well, once Wynn comes back to play shortstop, where's Tejesi going to play? You know, I mean, you got Gorman, you got Donovan, you got you got Wynn playing the middle infield spots, or even DHing, but you also got Burleson and Contreras to DH, and that they're really the three spots that suggests you're going to play, or second, short, or third. So I really think that they'll make the decision that it's better off for him to go back and play every day in Memphis, despite the success he's had up here. I mean, he just turned 23, so I mean he's definitely got a bright future. He's a guy that they're going to count on in 2026 and beyond, I think, for sure. But I think right now he's probably better off playing every day in Memphis and getting, one start a week maybe up here. So Siani's a guy that, even the way Walker has played defensively, you don't maybe have the need to put him in late innings as much as you thought you were going to have, because Walker's definitely grown and played much better in right field. But I think probably from the roster management standpoint, it's probably better off to keep Siani in the sense of JC back.
So we've kind of got this six-man rotation right now, adding mm-hmm. Steven Matson, who looked very good in his first start. How long are they going to stick with this six-man unit?
We'll know more after this week. They've got the off day coming up on Thursday after the series in Atlanta. So I think they went to it this time because with the not having an off day, it was the first time you had to get an extra day in there for pitchers to stay on that four days rest before the fifth day they pitch. So we'll see. But I think probably if it works, I don't really see any reason not to keep doing it. I mean, they always talk about how the pitchers benefit from that extra day of rest. And if you have the innings covered in the bullpen, I think the one question, of course, is if you go with a six starter, it means you have one less pitcher out of the bullpen. So sometimes you're taking, somebody from out of one area and putting him into another leaves a gap somewhere else. So I think that would also be part of the equation, is what's going on with the bullpen. Do they need an extra arm in the bullpen? Or if the starters are going deep enough in the ball games, then maybe you can keep doing this for a while.
Well, they have done a better job in the last week or so at going deeper into games. And this has only been a 3-week season. We're just over 3 weeks
Correct.
Into it. So, it's hard to really make a judgment, but they were lower in baseball in terms of getting innings from the starters. Now they're in the top 10. So they're doing better in that regard. Do you have any confidence that will continue like that? Because that takes a lot of pressure off a bullpen.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I definitely think that's what, I mean, it's all a matter of how they're pitching, right? I mean, I think every pitcher that's in their rotation now is capable of throwing 90 to 100 pitches. They're fully built up and they're fully healthy. So it's not a question of pitch count. It's a question of workload as far as like how many innings does that give you? Does that give you 5 innings? Does that give you 6 innings? Does that give you 7 innings? I mean, so I think it's the effectiveness of the starter is what's going to determine that. And especially if you're using that extra starter, that even gives you that extra day of rest, most of the time. So there's no reason why you can't go 90 to 95 pitches on a nightly basis if you're effective. We've all seen guys throw 90 pitches and be out of the game by the fourth inning because they've all got hit and given up a lot of runs. So that's what you just have to look for and hope that continues the recent stretch that they've been pretty good.
19 games in, the offense, I think, you would conclude, has been much better than we were expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And Ivan Herrera's out. He's going to come back eventually. And mm-hmm. that's a real potent bat in the middle of this order.
Yeah, I would argue, though, they haven't really missed him maybe as much as we thought, because Bozo's been a nice surprise. He and Pais have done a very good job behind the plate, and the other guys have kind of picked up that slack. But I should have mentioned Herrera when we were talking about, Gorman and Wynn being out, too. Obviously, but another big loss. But, yeah, I would think he's probably maybe they said a month originally, so what, we got another couple weeks to go before we'll start seeing, maybe him ramp up his baseball activities and get back out there. But, yeah, I think the offense has been a definite plus, and you kind of thought it would be. I think everybody kind of thought last year was a outlier year as far as that offense was concerned, but they believe in these guys and they're giving them the opportunity to play, and they played well. I mean, we always, it's always easy at the start of a baseball season to overanalyze everything, positively, negatively, because it's teams that get off to a hot start, the greatest team ever, and then they lose 10 in a row or whatever. So I think it's, we always overanalyze what's going on early on. But I think, if you just kind of sit back and look at the big picture, I think the Cardinals are happy with where they're at.
Yeah, they're about a top 6 or 7 offense in baseball right now. And one thing they're doing is they're not striking out very much. So that is helping. Mm-hmm. On the other side, they're not hitting a whole lot of home runs either, which, I mean, they're about average, compared to other major league teams. So that power is going to have to show up here at some point if, you know, they want to remain competitive, at least I think so. I mean, do you think that will? Yeah. Do you think the power will come around?
I mean, I think it may come. I mean, that was, you know, when you're dealing with young players, you know, one of the things that I've been told a long time ago by a lot of baseball people is when you evaluate young players, the last part of their game to come is almost always the power part of it. So, you know, Walker, Scott, you know, those guys that, you know, when those are the guys that are, you know, probably aren't there from where they're going to be in their careers eventually, power-wise, Herrera probably too. You've got Donovan and Nootbaar, a little bit older players. They're probably about where they're going to be. And then you got the veterans and Contreras and Arenado that you probably expect to be the two power guys in this lineup. So I don't think there's a ton of home runs in some of those other guys. I think they can win games other ways. You know, the Scott, of course, his game is built around speed and being able to get on base, and Nootbaar's abilities to get on base. And, you know, so I think if they do that, and if they can get the, you know, situational hitting, you know, they were horrible last year with hitting with runners in scoring position. If they can do better than that and generate some runs that way, I think they can win games without hitting a lot of home runs.
Let's talk about the bullpen. Joe Strauss is our guest. Rob Raines is our guest. The bullpen has been a little bit hit and miss so far this season. It looks like, though, with the emergence of Leahy, the back end is beginning to get more stabilized, and that could be, as it was last year, a real...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skene strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Strength on this ball club.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I mean, you've got to be very, you know, Helsley's been fine. You know, he'd won the one bad game at Boston, but that's, you know, that's going to happen to everybody. And Maton has been unbelievable. I mean, especially for a guy signing right at the end of spring training almost, you know, he hasn't given up a run all year. And you mentioned Leahy. I'm actually working on a story on him. Will probably come out on Monday, a longer profile piece of everything he's got going for him. And I think that, you got Romero who's been okay, you know, the back end there. So I think, you already, probably lessened the bullpen a little bit when you took Clevator out of it to move him back in the rotation at the end of spring training. But I think those other three guys, and Fernandez has been up and down, but I think, he's been better his last couple of games out there. So, I like the bullpen. I think they've got some good options out there, especially late in the ballgame if you're trying to protect that lead.
Yeah, we're talking about pitching here, and Miles Michaelis is starting tonight, and he's had a good outing, but a lot of them have been substandard. He had he had some promise in spring. I think there were a couple outings in there at least that you thought, okay, you know, maybe there's something here. How patient do you believe they will be with Miles Michaelis as the season goes on?
I think there's a couple of factors. Number one, yeah, obviously how he's pitching is part of it. I think, you know, the fact that he's still owed a lot of money is a factor in it, and that no trade clause, you really can't move him anywhere. So I think it's, and as long as he's healthy, you know, I think he's probably going to get the ball and pitch, especially if everybody else is kind of doing their job. You know, we always talk about it kind of with the offensive guys. If one guy is really struggling, you can afford to carry him a little bit more if the other guys are picking up the slack. So I think it also applies to the starting pitching thing. I mean, I think the outing he had, his last start, was real important for him to pitch well. So it's going to be important for him to see if he can continue to build on that tonight. I know he changed a few things, got a few more swing and misses, which has not really ever been a big part of his game, but it is such a big part of the game the way it's played today. So it'll be interesting to watch tonight and see how that happens, you know, with this Mets ball club, the tough lineup, you know, a lot of good hitters in that lineup. So the problem with Michaelis is he's one of those guys that I think everybody, you know, I'm speaking for myself, but I probably think for all Cardinal fans out there, you just never know what kind of game you're going to get when he takes them out. You know, he could get six, seven, you know, shutout innings or one run innings, or he could be out of the game by the third inning. You just never really know what to expect.
Yeah, and that really shoots the bullpen, obviously, when you don't get the length from your starter. Correct. Looking around the league, everybody expects the Dodgers are going to win the World Series again. They, you know, the best team money can buy. But the San Diego Padres and Mike Schilt has got that ball club playing really good baseball, and that's a really good team.
Yeah, I would say right now that the two best teams, and you put the Phillies up there too, probably the three best teams in baseball. I mean, I think they're all, you know, head and shoulders above some of the other ball clubs. So, yeah, that's going to be a fascinating race to develop. I think the Padres got a little bit of chip on their shoulder because they thought they were so close to beating the Dodgers in the playoffs last year, had the lead in Game 5 of that series and just couldn't hold it. So I think that kind of motivated them to go out there and show that, okay, we may not have the names that the Dodgers have, we may not have the size contracts that the Dodgers have, but we can play. We know how to play. And I think Schultz, you know, a terrific manager. I loved him when he was here. I knew him a long time in the minor league. So he's going to be the guy that can get the most out of the on that ball club. So that's going to be a really fascinating race to watch.
Also, just really, of course, curious about the Central race here, because it is it's one of those divisions that is always winnable, it seems like, that you don't have to do too much in order to be competitive in the division. Of the other team, I sort of dismiss the Reds and Pirates. I know they have good young talent, but they're just never going to do what they need to do to take a next step.
Yeah.
Cubs and Brewers, those are the only other two teams I really am worried about. Which one of those are you most concerned about this year if the Cardinals are to be competitive?
I think the Cubs are the best team in the division, and I think the Brewers are going to get better when they get some of their injured people back. But I think the Cubs have, you know, Council's, you know, a great manager, and they made some good additions over the winter with Tucker and Presley. And I think they're also the kind of team that could be aggressive at the trade deadline. You know, Milwaukee's always been pretty aggressive too, so it may come down to, you know, which team makes the best pickups at the deadline, you know, at the end of July, and can help themselves and identify what their needs are at that point of the season. If it's a, you know, bullpen arm, if it's a bat, whatever it turns out to be, the team that can go out and make the best move might be the club that becomes a favorite. But I still don't think there's a 90-win team in the division. I think you're going to win that division with 89 wins, so that makes it, you know, the Cardinals should be right in that mix.
Yeah, and I know some of the fan bases, Cardinals fans certainly get frustrated. I think Cubs fans do. I don't know how Brewers fans really feel about what they've done. I think what they have done over the years has been pretty impressive. But there's always that feeling, Rob, that, man, because the division is so winnable every year, it's just, you just do a little bit more during the offseason. Give yourself a better chance, and there's frustration there with some of these teams.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. Yeah, because it is such, you know, you're not competing with the Dodgers. You're not competing with the Yankees, at least in the division. You know, you would if you get to October, but, you know, you're not competing with the Yankees and the, you know, big spending clubs like that. So, yeah, let's just spend a little bit more money and get a little bit better, and we, you know, get into the playoffs. And I think, you know, the interesting strategy in baseball, and we've talked about it many times as far as the Cardinals are concerned, is the Cardinals, you know, for a long time have had the attitude of, let's build a club that can win the division, and then we'll see what happens in the playoffs. You know, we'll take our chances.
Yeah.
Where I think a lot of people really like the Dodgers, you know, the Dodgers go out there and say, let's build a team that can win the World Series.
Yes.
Forget about the division. We're building a team to get the World Series. So I think that's where the frustration comes in, too. I think is what, you know, what the organization values is the most important thing, what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I think that is absolutely fair for fans to feel that way. Rob Raines covers the Cardinals for STLSportsPage.com and the host of the Raines on the Cardinals podcast. We appreciate it as always. Thank you, Rob.
Anytime. Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
Rob Raines with us here on 104.1 FM KMOX. And that's, look, I say that all the time. And going back to my primary sports days, look, Cardinals fans know that their team is always competitive. They appreciate that usually we have a winner on the field. It didn't happen a couple of years ago. Usually we're talking about a potential playoff team or a wild card team or whatever. But I think what many fans feel is don't compete with the Brewers and the Reds and the Cubs. You need to compete with the Phillies and the Dodgers. And what those are the teams that you want to try and get as close to as you possibly can. Yeah. I realize resources are different. I get it. I get it. But those are the teams that you need to be competing against because those are the teams you got to face in the playoffs.
Elite starting pitching at the front of your rotation is what wins playoff series. And the Cardinals just haven't invested to have two top of the rotation starters.
And they're going to have to, and I know they are trying and they are making efforts in that direction, but they're just going to have to get better in terms of drafting and developing.
And grow their own. Yeah.
Yeah. And then not be afraid if a premier free agent is out there and available and can help them in a big way. Don't be afraid to go get them. That is John Hancock. I'm Chris Ranji. We are here with you until 12. Then the Gas House Gang. It's Kevin Wheeler and me. We will talk Cardinals baseball and more. That's all coming up on KMOX.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.